Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. It means I got to put on my thinking cap. I can't just sleepwalk through a show because Gidi Hansen is on. Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. She's one of my favorite guests. She's one of my favorite people, and I do recommend that if anybody has some family problems, some issues that they want to try to contend with, try to deal with their family, with maybe some personal demons they're going through, and maybe some depression or something that's bothering them, or they have some kids that are having some, you know, are not doing well, and maybe marital problems. I really think that I could tell you from experience, this is somebody you want to go to. We have other counselors as well at The Growing Place. A lot of wonderful people there. You can go to The Growing Place. They're located on East Avenue, and tgplace.com is the place to go to. But Gita is also, besides being somebody who helps people with personal issues, is a, I'm going to say an expert. She doesn't like when I call her an expert. She has a master's degree in Christian studies. And for the next, we started last Wednesday and we're continuing today about what Judgment Day will look like. It's a scary thought. I think about it. I don't like to think about it because I'm afraid that, you know, I'm not going to get the golden ticket, you know, and get inside. You know, we all want the golden ticket. And what's it going to look like? And we're leading up to that by talking about three parables in the Bible. The Gidi says is sort of gives us an idea of what it's going to look like or take to reach, to be given one of those golden tickets. And Gidi, first of all, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, I love talking pleasure. To you. My pleasure.
We started off last week, and we pretty much wrapped it up. But let's make sure we review it. The parable of the 10 virgins, mm-hmm. and wrapping it up. Five foolish virgins, five wise virgins. The wise virgins had extra lamp in their oil in case things went into overtime on their wedding date. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they did go into overtime. And these virgins had the extra oil, and they were able to meet their bridegroom, and life was good for them. The oil, we determined, was not good works, but it appears the oil is actually the relationship with God. View it as the Holy Spirit coming into their life.
Exactly.
So you're getting a little extra Holy Spirit put into your flask to keep you going, and in case your life goes a little longer than maybe it's set out to be. So you might be thinking, I have enough Holy Spirit to get me until I'm, you know, 50. It's almost like a financial planner telling you, you have enough money in your nest egg to last you till you're 70. Well, what happens if I live till I'm 75 or 80? Well, you might not have enough money. So that might be even a better example in many ways. Do you have enough money to get you through retirement until your death?
Right. And if I can add something to that, the way we make sure we have enough money or oil is just to keep the relationship current.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep the relationship alive with God, mm-hmm. and current and honest and genuine and real, and you don't have to worry about it.
Right. See, and God knows what's in your heart. He knows whether you're serious about it.
Yes.
Because there's some of us, and I hope I'm not one of them, that is thinking, okay, if I'm going to talk to God, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to go serve soup at the soup kitchen, and I'm going to do these things. So that's adding oil into my flask.
Not necessarily. Because those could just be empty works if your heart isn't in it. If you don't have a relationship with God, mm-hmm. it's just works.
Yeah.
But if you have that love relationship with God, everything you do is for Him.
And how do you know whether you do have it? That's one of the things that I think because I think there's many people who say, okay, should we have to try to have the relationship with God?
If I would counsel anyone who wonders if they are having a love relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, I would counsel them to ask God.
Okay.
And then ask Him to reveal it to them in a way that they can understand.
Here's a way that I try to understand it. I look at my relationship with my sons, and as the father, maybe I'm the godlike figure.
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing enough to keep the relationship, and are they doing enough to keep the relationship good with me? Or am I doing just enough? And how do I? And you know what? It's hard to judge that because you don't know whether or not. Okay, am I doing too much? Am I not doing enough? If will I be too persistent? Get your homework done. Let's do this. Let's go out and play ball. Dad, I don't want to play ball. Let me just sit and relax. I mean, am I doing too much to facilitate that relationship? Could you do too much where it becomes okay?
Yeah, we call that codependency.
Okay.
Or enmeshment in psychology. So obviously God doesn't have those problems. But again, Jerry, I just say whatever issues we have or worries we have, just take it to the Lord.
Yeah.
Say, God, am I doing enough? You know, is my relationship with you genuine?
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy with me? You know, don't wait till Judgment Day.
Right. Yeah.
Don't, because that's what the foolish did. Mm-hmm. They waited till then to find out what the requirement was.
Mm-hmm.
But the wise were just current with their relationship. It was updated.
And
all their fears, their wonderings, I ask God, you know, all kinds of questions if I'm upset or wondering or fearful or anxious. I just ask him, and he gives me answers.
Sometimes the answers take a while. I don't want to get too off.
Yeah,
too
let's
far
not
off
get
topic,
off the track.
Go ahead.
Let's
stick with the three parables that we're talking about.
All right. So then the foolish ones go to the wise because they're out of oil.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, give us some of your oil. And the wise said, no, because then there's not going to be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the marketplace and buy some for yourselves. Now, what that tells me is everybody has to get their personal relationship or their oil or their Holy Spirit from God directly. I can't take my relationship and pour it into someone else's life.
I see.
Someone else can't take their relationship and pour it into my life. As much as we would like to pour our relationships into the lives of our children and our grandchildren and say, you know, please take this faith from me and become a Christian, we can't do that.
You can't make somebody do something. They have to do it themselves.
The relationship with God is personal.
We'll be right back. Continue our discussion with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place about what the hereafter will look like or what Judgment Day is going to look like when you come back.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome
up
to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is Live Local Talk.
So wake me up when
all right, we are in the second part of a several part series on Judgment Day, what it could look like. We always emphasize when we speak with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place on Wednesday, every Wednesday, that that Gidi, while she knows a lot, she has a master's degree in Christian studies, but it's speculation, it's conjecture, it's taking the Bible and interpreting it the way she believes it is, and we don't know for certain. There is no clear, definitive way of saying this is what it's going to look like and how it's going to be on Judgment Day when we go to meet God. And so I think that's important to emphasize. This is no, but we learn a lot. And there are three parables, and if you could just recap, the three parables are,
in Matthew 25, and I encourage our listeners to read these parables for themselves in a modern translation. We have the parable of the 10 virgins, mm-hmm. the parable of the talents, and the parable of the sheep and the goats.
Okay.
And I believe that covers the three areas where God will be judging us.
Mm-hmm.
So where we left off was the unwise, the foolish, said, give us some of your oil. And the wise said, no, because then there won't be enough for us. You've got to go directly and purchase it for yourself at the marketplace, which I interpret to mean you've got to establish your personal relationship with God. It can't come through me or anyone else. And while they are going to make the purchase, while they go away, the bridegroom comes. And those who are ready and waiting and their lamps were burning bright, they go in with him to the wedding feast. And the door was shut. Now, to me, my heart just, the thought of a door, that door to eternal life in heaven being shut is a very scary thought. And I think it should be.
So one of the things that maybe troubles me a little bit about the parable is that it sounds like the five foolish virgins at least realized at some point, we don't have enough. We haven't done enough, but I want more. I want to do more. I'm going to go to God, the marketplace, and I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to say, God, So why should the door be shut?
Okay, let's finish the parable. Okay. Hold on to that question, because that's a great question.
Okay.
Let's first see what our Lord says.
Okay.
And then we'll come back to that. And so the door is shut. And then later, after they've made their purchase, the foolish virgins come along, and the door is shut, and they're pounding on the door, and they're saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answers from the other side of the door, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Oh, I never want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to hear that from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. I do not know you. And how I interpret that is God's gracious invitation to a relationship with him, to salvation through his son Jesus Christ, is so lavish. It's so available, especially to us in America, where you can buy a Bible anywhere, you can find a church anywhere. It's so available. And to wait until it's really not by faith anymore because the Lord is there. And you go, oh, it really is real. Oh, okay, well, I'll see if I can slip in under the door at the last moment because now I know everything those crazy Christians were saying is actually mm-hmm. reality.
Mm-hmm.
I'll line up now, and God is telling us, he's warning us, in my opinion, in this parable, don't be presumptuous. There will come a time. I'm so gracious and lavish and generous now, but there is going to be a cutoff time.
Mm-hmm.
And just make sure you get in before the cutoff. I mean, that's what this is
about.
And
the cutoff time is your death.
Is either your death and you haven't done business with God,
mm-hmm.
or Jesus has returned and you haven't done business with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord warns all of us, saved and unsaved, be on the alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour. And that can mean the day or the hour of your own death, or the day or the hour of Christ's return.
Mm-hmm.
So the first area I believe we're going to be judged in is our personal relationship with God. Not the quality of it, but the fact of it, does it exist?
Mm-hmm.
The oil just says yes. The personal relationship with God exists.
Okay, so having the relationship.
Now ask your question that you asked a moment ago.
Why should these people be left out? They wanted to do something. They wanted to do what was right, but God said no. I mean, these people said, "Gosh, I realize my mistake." But you're saying that I think you answered the question. The parable is after their death. The parable, from what I could tell, is these ten virgins that have died, essentially.
They either have died or the Lord came back while they were still
okay,
alive.
Okay, so in other words, this is the day of judgment. This is the day.
This is the day. And also, remember, we're saved by faith. And if you see Christ face to face, it's no longer faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the whole covenant that God set up with us
mm-hmm.
is nullified when he's on the spot standing there mm-hmm. and everybody sees him and it's evident to everybody who he is. Remember, in that day, those who hate him are going to say to the mountains, fall on us.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a whole segment of the population that will just be running in terror from his face. That's in the Bible too.
It's funny because, not funny, it's sad when sometimes you hear an atheist say, you know, I look forward to judgment day and telling God, I don't believe in you, and I think that you're, and I think you don't want that day.
And you know, as a counselor, that breaks my heart uh-huh. because I realize it's the issues they have with God are really issues they had with authority figures in their lives.
Uh-huh.
And they're projecting that onto a God they don't even know.
Right.
And it breaks my heart. It really does.
We're going to take a break. We have one more segment for this show with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. I hope you don't mind if I remind you that if you have some personal issues you want to deal with, maybe marital issues, or maybe you're going through some personal problems, or maybe your child is, whatever it is, we welcome you to, we invite you to go to The Growing Place. Their phone number is 588-0448, or go to tgplace.com. We'll wrap up today's show after this break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, my guest every Wednesday, and I always say this, I really have to concentrate when I speak to her. And of all the shows that we do during the course of a week, the ones with Gidi are some of the most well-received. Not that my other guests aren't wonderful and very interesting, but these are incredibly well-received because we talk about real, deep issues. And I think issues that we worry about. And I think the ones that we really think about is Judgment Day. And we see, I know in my business, Gidi, I see it really every day. I'm almost every day where I go to an event, and people always say, well, doctors see it and priests see it. You know, believe it or not, I've probably seen more dead bodies than maybe many priests might even see, or pastors in many ways.
Absolutely.
And it's in the most catastrophic ways, where you go to an accident, the scene of an accident,
right.
you see somebody and you go, boy, that's just bad luck. That's just bad fate. It can happen at any time, at any place. It's always a reminder that we have really no control over when our time comes, but we do have some control
over being prepared for it,
for our future world that we're going to go to.
Yes.
And I remember talking, and I've mentioned him before, Father Paul Mark Schwann, who's the abbot at New Clairvaux, and I used to work there, and I have deep admiration for him. He's, if I could be like anybody, if I could be like any man, he's who I'd want to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And he really inspires me. And I remember talking to him once in the car. We were driving from San Francisco, and I said, you know, it doesn't seem like a far distance from here to heaven. It seems very close. I'm talking physically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I couldn't really explain it. And I think it's called the thin veil that between here and the hereafter.
Mm-hmm.
It is a thin veil. And I don't know whether I explained myself, but he knew immediately what I was talking about. He said, oh, yeah, it's a very short distance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because of it's time. It's not distance. It's the time that can instantaneously transport you into a different realm.
Yes, yes.
It's a frightening thought.
It is. It is. You know, someone might look at our Lord's parable and just say, this is so unfair. This is so arbitrary. Are you telling me that somebody who spent their entire life serving other people, doing good works, and maybe they were a Buddhist or a Muslim or an atheist, and they served human beings and they were so selfless, and are you telling me that this person is going to go to hell because, you know, they didn't have this oil or this thing that you're talking about? It just seems so unfair.
And on the reverse side, it seems so unfair by our standards that the thief on the cross, he was more than a thief.
He was a murderer.
He was a murderer, and he was a rebellion against the state, and he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
And at the last minute, he turns to Jesus and says, will you let me in paradise? I have faith in you. And he says, you'll be in paradise. Surely I say to you. Now, it's interesting. Some people, I don't want to get too much on it, but they say, today you'll be with me in paradise. I think what he's saying is, I tell you this today, you will be in paradise. I don't think it says, I tell you this today you will be in paradise.
I look at it is today you will enter eternity
where
there is no time.
Okay.
This very day you're going to die and enter eternity. And that could be true for any of us.
And I understand why people feel that way because it does seem very terribly unjust. It does seem terribly unjust that this guy who's lived a terrible life, I'm guessing he must be 25, 26 years old, just guessing, looking at him based on the movies, I guess. I mean, that he's had a terrible life his whole life. And then suddenly at the last second, he finds Jesus literally next to him. And he says, and God, Jesus says, you're in.
Yeah.
And somebody else who's done all these good things. And then he's like, well, gosh, I don't get to be in. There does seem something unjust.
You know,
about
because
that.
In human reasoning, we see Judgment Day like the scales.
Yes.
And, you know, how many good works have I done? How many bad works have I done? And where will it even out? Which one will be tipped more? And God says, there's nothing you can do to get into heaven. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. There's nothing you can do, but I have made a way. Mm-hmm. I have made a way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes, no one comes to the Father but by me. And of course, we know that Jesus himself is the judge. Mm-hmm. So he knows where his blood is gone. He knows where he has had people invest in him in a personal relationship.
And dovetailing on that, I think about David, a guy who committed murder, committed adultery.
Yes.
And that which caused him to commit a murder. And God comes to him and says, you are like the epitome of what I want.
You are a man after my own heart because David repented. And you know, Jerry, if we're honest, mm-hmm. we've all done awful things.
We all have.
Even that man, that hypothetical man who spent his life doing so many good works for other people. Mm-hmm. God is just saying, I know you can't get here on your own. Will you do it the way that I've prescribed mm-hmm. through Jesus? And, you know, to our listeners who have not tried that way, well, you know, it's like a little kid. I'm not going to eat that. Well, have you tried it? No. Mm-hmm. Well, but I don't want to eat it, you know.
Yeah.
Try it. Or you may say, I did try it and it was awful. Well, I would say, don't judge the Lord by his people. If that were the criteria, I would not be a Christian today.
Mm-hmm.
Because growing up as a Muslim in America in the 50s and 60s, God's people were really cruel to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, please don't judge me by my people. They do all kinds of things that I don't authorize, and they do it in my name.
Perfect way to end the show. Gidi, thanks for being with us again.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And next week we're going to talk about a new parable, the parable of the talents, and how that helps us give a better idea of what Judgment Day may look like. We're all going to face that day someday, and we'll continue that discussion or start that discussion next Wednesday. Thanks for joining us, everybody. So long.